Welcome to the Subversive Scribe Podcast, where we investigate the Hebrew Bible, Genesis through Chronicles, its instructions, teachings, and application. Learn how to interpret it correctly in context. Compare what it says in one part with another part, including and especially the New Testament. Let the text speak for itself in all its glory and in all its gore. Let the law, prophets, and writings be shield and spear. All it takes is the courage to hear it, seek it, and then decide on how you shall then live. The choice is always yours. I'm your show host, Jesse Heschel, and I invite you, even dare you, to join me on this journey on the Subversive Scribe Podcast. The biblical texts were always dangerous and subversive when allowed to speak on their own terms. Join the Scriven Insurgents, and let's get started with today's episode. All right, welcome to the Subversive Scribe Podcast. I am your Subversive Scribe and fearless host, Hesh, and in this episode, episode 8, we're going to talk about what is a Messiah anyway? Of course, Christianity is built on the word Messiah and built on the belief that Jesus himself is the Messiah from the Jewish tradition. The English word Messiah comes from the Hebrew Moshiach. It simply means anoint, to be anointed. Hebrew itself is a much more kinetic language, I would say, focusing on action. It's a physical and less abstract language like, say, Greek, though every language has, of course, its abstract forms. I use an analogy of the English word commission. So dictionary.com says commission means authority granted for a particular action or function. Now, we have people that can be commissioned for acts such as police. Those officers are sworn in and authorized to perform policing acts that involve limiting or interfering with the otherwise normal actions of civil liberties, your daily life. We commission ships for seafaring, or officers are commissioned to lead in the military. It's a term that defines authority but also function. So a good way to understand the word Messiah is it's something or someone that is commissioned for a purpose. They, be it people or objects, are authorized to perform a certain function. This is also the biblical definition of a Messiah, or to be anointed. The Tanakh, again, that's the Law, Prophets, and Writings, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament for Christians. In the Tanakh, we have several examples of both people and items that are Mashiach'd, or anointed. It's a commission for a sacred purpose. There's approximately 39 instances of this. The tabernacle in Exodus 40, verse 9, is anointed for service. The same word is being used. It's applied to Saul 12 times. The Messiah to come is referred to 9 times, 1 Samuel 2:10, 35, Psalm 2, verse 2, 89, 51, 132, verse 10, Daniel 9, 25, and 26, Habakkuk 3, 13. David was referred to as anointed 6 times. The priests are referred to as anointed. The reigning kings are referred to as anointed. Patriarchs, the word Messiah is used for them. Mashiach, the same word is used for them in Psalm 105, 15, and 1 Chronicles 16, 22. Solomon, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 42. Prospective kings, that's used once, 1 Samuel 16, 6. Cyrus is verbatim called God's Messiah, the Lord's Messiah, Cyrus. 45, 1, Isaiah 45, 1. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings. Isaiah 45, 1 says that Cyrus, the pagan Persian king, maybe he was a Zoroastrian, maybe that was a variant of that was beginning or around there at the time, but typically he was considered to be a pagan. He was God's Messiah. Your translators in English don't translate that as Messiah because they would find that offensive. If they put Cyrus Christ, it would be offensive. It would cause uproar. But the text actually says that Cyrus is the Lord's, God's anointed, God's Messiah. He's literally called God's Messiah. Translators do not like to translate it that way, and thus they will translate it as anointed because it interferes with the Christian agenda of Jesus being the anointed. I do believe it is intentional because translators, especially Christian translators, are translating with their own bias and agenda in mind. They want also a translation to be readable. I don't mean to read malintent into that process any more than I have to, and they will admit that it does say that Cyrus is God's Messiah, and that Saul was, and David was, and Solomon, and priests, and tabernacles, and altars. And my point is that they know better, that there's not just one. And that's the point. Now, some might say, sure, that's reasonable. But that isn't the Messiah. as in Jesus or some other individual. So let's address that notion. So first of all, the definite article is missing in most cases, even though it is translated as the, when it usually isn't there. So Daniel 9 is an example. Chapter 9, verse 26. There is no the. There is no ha, Messiah, ha, Mashiach. It's not there. It's just one who is anointed, but this leads to an erroneous interpretation that is driven by a Christian hermeneutic. Now, Daniel 9 is a heavy topic, and that's a different podcast. But if you see a definite article in the text, in your English text, you should investigate further. It isn't as common as they make it sound. So we have many anointed characters. So Saul is God's anointed. David is, very clearly. Actually, we have the story of him being anointed. David, Solomon, Jacob, he anoints a rock after a dream. That's an outlier, as it's a marker of an experience, and we have the Jacob's ladder vision there. We have priests, we have their items, their equipment, we have a foreign king. They are tasked to do a specific function and job. It's function, not form. This is important because we are struggling with questions of essence and person when we should be looking at function. What is the commissioned one or item being asked to do? That is to read it biblically. Now, this is a really important point that I don't want to miss, and Christians should hear this clearly. A commissioned or anointed or Mashiach to one has a purpose and a function. It is a function over form, but never an object of worship. Only God is to be worshipped. If Christians paid more attention to this, they might actually appreciate Jesus more. If we accept that Jesus was commissioned for a task, he has to be commissioned by a higher power with authority to issue that commission, and that higher authority would be God, if, of course, the story is to be believed. And what is that mission? It appears that Jesus' initial mission was what all the prophets said before, repent and turn back to God, with a focus on the lower castes and the disobedient in Israel, right? So he says that he was sent to the sinners, which would have been prostitutes, tax collectors, the rabble. So going back to Jesus' mission, if he was commissioned by God to do something, it was to preach the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, which has always been in the prophets and it's always been in the Hebrew Bible. That wasn't novel. To say that God had him commissioned to do that, than to say, oh, just kidding, it's actually about human sacrifice and the rest of the elevated Christian mythos, it doesn't match. Now, ironically, they killed the message while keeping the messenger, and usually it's the opposite. I'm not advocating for the Christian position on Jesus as the Messiah, but I'm suggesting that Christians understand commissioning in its biblical context. So another question about that is, about what's a Messiah, is do we even really need one of those? I mean, what good are they anyway? They're humans too that are broken, full of their own faults, but they have a mission to advocate for something. Usually we find it for the purpose of protecting the people of Israel, handling them as a priest, or pointing them back to the covenant and Torah loyalty. So in the 39 examples, it's for something for Israel. It's an equipment that's being used. It's commissioning a priest to his office, commissioning a king to his office. It's pointing them back to the covenant. That's usually what the Messiah's role is, his job is. Also brings me to another point. If that's the function and the commission by God, that when someone is anointed or commissioned for a service or for a function, that function is to turn people back, to send them off, to send the message. Think about Amos heading south to send the message to Judah that they should repent. Maybe you're one. Does God have a job for you? Does he have a mission for you? If the mission is to repair the world, as the rabbis point out, what is your role in that? How can you join in doing so? Will there be a Messiah in the future? Now, there are Hebrew Bible verses that are at least read to indicate that this will be so, but there are not as many biblical indicators about this. And by that, I mean clear prophecies in a straightforward, plain sense way. Most people will say that, oh no, look at Jesus fulfilled 300 and 400 and 500 prophecies. And then they'll say, well, what wasn't fulfilled, Jesus will fulfill on his second coming. But that almost makes the notion of prophecy useless, because almost everything becomes a prophecy. And usually it's not as a prophecy, it's done as an allegory or a typology. That is a specific way of reading the text. That's a more mystical almost way of reading the text. So in this podcast, this episode, I wanted to cover what is a Messiah. And it's more expansive than you think, and it's more functional than you think, than you've been told. It's about function, not form. It's about doing a job, having a specific purpose and mission. And maybe you've got one too. All right. In the meantime, stay subversive, and I'm your subversive scribe, Hesh, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Support for the Subversive Scribe comes from private subscribers, generous supporters, and a community of inquiring people who are willing to take the biblical texts seriously and subversively. Join the Scriven Insurgents, the private community built for Subversive Scribe podcast subscribers, on our Locals page at subversivescribe.locals.com. Click on Become a Supporter, and for $5 a month as a member of the Scriven Insurgents, you get access to private Subversive Scribe episodes, teaching series, audible commentaries, and exclusive content. Your support makes the Subversive Scribe podcast possible. Join the Scriven Insurgents and stay subversive.